I would say do the basics, you know, do them consistently. And if you have a fear over kind of doing any videos or any of that, get over yourself and just go and do it.
Welcome to this Practice Growth Summit, the largest collection of chiropractors on the planet, the largest summit we've ever done, and we're super blessed to have our guests live with us here today. Most of the interviews I've done have been over Zoom, but Dr. Dan Brown is here in Windsor, so we thought we'd do it in this format. So let me just introduce our guest, Dr. Dan Brown. He is a rock star chiropractor. He also is the founder of Chiropractic Jobs Online, and he's the largest 8-week wellness practice in the entire Scotland. And I tell you, we're really blessed to have him here. He's an amazing chiropractor. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got into chiropractic and how long you've been practicing for.
Well, I've been practicing for 10 years now. Yeah. Graduated from the AECC. When I graduated, I moved back up to Scotland and I was living in Edinburgh. Yeah. Now, I got into chiropractic because I met a chiropractor at a careers convention when I was about 15 or 16 years old. To be honest, he had these really funky pens and I really liked the pens, so I just went up and started speaking to him. But after I started speaking to him, I realized that there was a lot more to chiropractic. The fact that the body could heal itself from the inside out without the use of drugs or surgery, and that you could do it with your bare hands. And that's what really attracted me to it. So I went and I observed Dr. Graham White. And after I observed him, I just knew that was for me. So as I said, I went to go and study at AECC. And then I went and got a job with him when I graduated. So,
So you've since moved practices, hey?
So when I graduated, I went to work for him in Edinburgh. He had a satellite clinic, and there was a chiropractor that was there who left and took a lot of the patient base with him. So I went in just to cover the remaining practice members that were there. Anyway, he decided to end up closing it down, so I then took over the practice for a small sum of money. And I built up the practice from there. I then bought the commercial property. We then renovated it and then continued to build the practice. Since then, I decided I wanted to move to an 8 weeks to wellness model where we could offer more services and more facilities on top of chiropractic care. And we did that, and we bought a new 5,000 square foot office in Perth, renovated that, and then have been there for just over about 2 years now. So
that's amazing, dude. So I think one of the things that we see in all these interviews is whenever I sit down at this level with a chiropractor who's had a very successful practice, there's always a bit of a story about, you know, the stuff that they did in the beginning, or their bankers, or some of their marketing stuff that has worked for them over the years. When I say that to you, what would you say, like, what's really helped you build that practice? Because now, I mean, there's a Practice Growth Summit, and I always, like, I want everyone to walk away with at least one or two things that can implement the next week. For you, what has that been? I know there's lots of things, because we're going to talk about online and offline marketing in a moment, because Dan's really good at that stuff, but what would you say, what's been like one of the foundations that you've always done that you can rely on?
I would say the best is offline marketing and just meeting people face to face. So screenings. I would say I've veered more towards the screenings than opposed to the talks. I did a lot of talks. However, I found that the screenings were a lot more valuable for me. So, you know, I used to get into offices and we'd do sort of spinal screening clinics. We'd go into different organizations. We'd be at shows. We'd be at wedding shows. We'd, like, 1 year we did 54 screenings in a year. So we even got our own chiropractic van that was all logoed up, and we had all the stuff set. So we were ready just to go whenever it was there. So we had marquee in there. We had, you know, pop-up banners. We had all the sort of stuff that we needed. So, you know, and one of the things I would say is that we did that, and we did an awful lot over a period of time, and I kind of got sick fed up of it. And what I did was I sold the van to my brother, and I kind of said, right, what we're going to do is we're in a different place now. We're going to do a lot more newspaper adverts, radio adverts, you know, online kind of stuff, and really try and do our marketing that way. And unfortunately, it just didn't bring in the new patients. So we bought the van back. We're now doing an awful lot more. Last weekend, I was doing a screening in a shopping mall. And it's just, it's one of the things that you just need to be doing. I think the benefit as well is your marketing's direct to the patient. So, you know, if you're speaking, or a potential patient, when you're speaking to them and you say, hey, how are you doing? How can I help you? You know, and they start telling you about all of their issues. You know, already they're, you know, a a potential candidate, you know, yeah, a potential patient.
You're bonding with them immediately. But it's so funny, you know, that it doesn't matter. If you're watching this now, I promise you it's happened in your practice, because it's happened in all our practices.
Yeah.
Is we've got this disease in marketing, and it's that we stop the thing that's worked for us for years.
Yeah.
A, because we get bored.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard. And then showing up is challenge, you know, whether it's in corporates or whether it's screenings or whatever, it's a challenge. One of the things we like to talk about in the Inner Circle group or my New Patient Avalanche members is that, like, it doesn't always have to be you. Yep. And one of the best pieces of advice I ever got in business was, if it's important, it's important to do whether it's done by you or not.
Yeah.
Which was quite like a mind shift change for me at the time.
Sure.
So you also spoke about getting into businesses there.
Yeah.
So tell us some tips then. What's worked? Because, I mean, for me, it's just, we do, this week alone, I think we've done 3 or 4 corporate events this week. But to get in is the challenge.
Sure.
So what's worked well for you?
I wouldn't say there's one sort of recipe that works. I think persistence is the key thing.
You know?
Nice. And when you get a no, you just ignore it and you just keep asking.
And
I think you got the key thing is finding the right person who makes the decisions. And you just have to be kind of sneaky and clever in how you do that. But, you know, call someone and ask them, you know, who would be the best person to speak to with regards to this. You might get a name straight away. If so, that's great. Go to them.
Yeah.
Another way would be speaking to your patients. And
nice.
If they work at that company, ask them who the person would be to speak to. Ask for their phone number, their email address. And then it's just a case of constantly just keeping on at it. And if you get a no once, a few months later, that person might not be in the role.
Oh, absolutely.
So go back and ask again. And I know what it's like with my emails as well. It's like a lot of the time I don't check, you know, the emails will come in, I'll see it, I'm busy, I'll deal with it later, and I forget about it. So if you don't get a reply, it's not the fact that they're ignoring you. It's not the fact, and we have this idea that we take it personally. You didn't get back to me, so they don't want me, they don't like me, this kind of thing. But actually, sometimes just they're busy and they forget to. So just keep, you know, just persisting with it.
And do you do that in your business, or is there someone else that does in your practice?
I did it initially.
Yes.
And I still do it to a degree, but there may be other people as well who will be doing it as well.
Okay, so, very nice. Yeah. So, I mean, it's amazing throughout these summit interviews, the amount of people who have said, you know, they're low-hanging fruit, the thing they built the businesses in the beginning was on-the-grounds marketing.
Sure.
Getting out there into marketplace. And actually, I don't know if you know, there's a very interesting statistic is that online, I actually think online marketing can be quite distracting at times because the offline stuff works so well, but the idea of getting new patients flooding your practice while you're sitting at home in your underwear is just too appealing for people.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh, this is gonna be amazing, but sometimes we forget about the bankers.
Sure.
So tell me a little bit about how you've, because you're doing some online stuff too, and you've done some online stuff for Chiropractic Jobs Online.
Sure.
And like, what do you think, you know, if you're a chiropractic office today, do you think you need to be online? And if so, what's the bare minimum you think you need to be doing?
Well, I think, you know, you don't have to be online, but I think that's the way things are going now. You know, you certainly need to have online presence with a website, first of all. Mm. You know, you certainly need to be making sure you're ranking on the first page or up there, you know. But again, I think social media is one of the best ways to do it. And if you can really kind of get yourself out there, you know, and I did your New Patient Avalanche last year, and I also learned a lot from that. And I think, you know, just getting content consistently out there. And I can't remember, it was someone I was speaking to, but what they were saying was, you know, previously with marketing campaigns, it was maybe about 5 or 6 interactions someone would have, so maybe in a newspaper advert before they might possibly buy. Whereas now with social media, they're saying maybe up to about 90 interactions before someone will do it. So the point is, you need to be getting that stuff out there consistently. So whether that's videos, whether that's your adverts, however you plan on doing it, and obviously you're going to know exactly you know what to do there, but you know it's consistency. I think that's one of the key things that you need to be doing. So if you are going to be doing videos, don't do one video and then it's the same with any marketing, don't do one advert and then sit back and see how it works. You have to be consistent with it.
Okay, so again, it's I think we underplay this in practices. Is it's all good and well to talk about that, but in the structure of a practice is like, who actually does it? So like, if you can give us some insights, you're in the game, you're adjusting now, you're practicing now, you run more than one business. Like, how do you manage productivity? Because you're a busy guy. Like, I know you personally. I know you're doing a lot of stuff. Yeah. So how do you manage productivity and the fact, like, how do you manage in your team that stuff gets done, like social media stuff, like screening stuff, like the corporate talks? Give us some insights into that and some tips that you'd say.
Well, we've been doing an awful lot of videos with regards to, you know, the chiropractic. We've got massage therapists. They've been doing some personal training, competitions, all of that. So from the chiropractic side, myself and Josh, my associate, we'll do a video every Tuesday morning. So I'll film him, he'll film me. And it's normally either an adjusting video, talking about something.
How do you guys keep yourself accountable to that video every Tuesday morning?
Because it's scheduled in every Tuesday morning.
Nice.
So every Tuesday morning we have a DC meeting.
Yeah.
And in that DC meeting, that's one of the things.
So once a week you have the DC meeting.
Yeah.
And then you have that scheduled in straight away.
Absolutely.
Okay, so like that's such a small little thing we say in passing in this meeting, but what gets scheduled
gets done,
right?
Yeah.
So I've got a saying with my inner circle members, whoever works with me, is like, we're not, performance requires pressure in some way, shape, or form, some type of pressure. And we are, by human nature, is that we're procrastinators. So if you didn't schedule it in every Tuesday,
doesn't get done. Yeah, absolutely.
What other type of habits do you guys have, like, in the practice? Stuff that you schedule that gets done?
Well, we've got all sorts of meetings, from our management meetings to, you know, our therapist meetings to then, you know, our DC meeting as well. So scheduling those things is really important. I think encouraging your team also to, you know, do videos and give them ideas of things that they can do and get them to go away and do it and encourage them and just get it up there as content. One of the things we actually did in January was we made a commitment for every day to have at least 2 videos posted on social media.
Nice.
So the whole team had to contribute towards that. So we said, look, for every day of January, we need videos. So through November, December, the whole team was responsible for putting all these videos on WhatsApp, so we had a whole host of them, and then we were scheduling them to get out. And I think, you know, by committing to that 1 month was great, because then after the month, it was then just a continuation. People had already got into the habit.
Mm.
And, you know, as they say, if you develop a habit over 30 days, it tends to stick a bit, and then, you know, you can just continue it. So that worked for us as well.
Very cool. What's interesting about that is, if you talk about, so one of the biggest things, the challenge with getting out in social media is you have to get comfortable with the public presence, right?
Sure.
And then if you've spoken in front of an audience before, or you've done a Facebook Live or whatever, I don't care who you are, there's a little voice that comes up just before you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Who's going to watch this? Who's going to say something?
Yeah.
And I was once taught this specifically in the chiropractic industry. One of the biggest, most debilitating things we have in the chiropractic industry is peer-to-peer judgment.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it's there, right? Like, the doc down the road is going to say something. So what would you say to someone now? Because you guys really, you did immersion, you just did the videos, you just got over it. But what are some tips you'd give someone to, like, just get out there and do the video, but tell us about that. Like, how did you guys get over that as a team?
It's literally that, just get over it. Like, I would give Joe Tilley the credit for that.
Yeah.
When we opened our new clinic, Joe really wanted to showcase it. He was like, Dan, we're going to do a Facebook Live and we're going to show people. And I was like, oh, no, I've got to go and do this video. You know, I hated it.
Yeah.
What are you going to say? What do I need to do?
Yeah.
You know, and he said, look, just do it and just talk me through the clinic and that's all. So I did it and then watched, and it went live, and there was, you know, quite a few hundred people watched it, and that was great. But you then watch it and then you go, oh, I was a bit rigid. I was a bit this, I was a bit that. And then you kind of just keep practicing. And the thing is, your first video is never going to be great. It's never going to be perfect. And, you know, one of the other things I learned was, you know, perfection paralyzes you, and that's the thing. People have this idea that it needs to be absolutely perfect before they just go ahead and do it, whereas excellence allows you to execute. So as long as it's going to be good, just go with it and just get the first one done and then do another one and another one and another one and another one. And the more you do it, you'll see that they actually get a bit better. You get a bit more comfortable in front of the camera. And I've still got a long way to go, I would certainly say, but it's, you know, but I'm still just working on it. It's a process for everyone. I think a lot of the time you see other people who have been doing it for a few years and you're like, I can never get to there.
And you compare yourself.
You're always comparing yourself. But you can only get to there if you start somewhere, because they had to start somewhere as well.
Mm.
And that's the process. So I would say just do it, get over yourself and go for it.
You know, I think with all those processes, if that stat you just told me now, that need close to 90 interactions.
Sure.
Then you got to ask yourself, in any of our practices, are we sending enough emails? Are we sending and are we doing enough Facebook Lives?
Sure.
Are we getting the community enough? Because the thing about getting out in the community and doing those screenings, Jay Abraham talks about this. He talks about something called omnipresence.
Yeah.
So it's not about being, so if you're doing a Facebook Live and you're doing a strategy called PPE, where you're posting that and people in your area are seeing that, then you're doing the community events. Yep. So they've seen you on Facebook, they've seen you in the community events. Then I think you did some, didn't you do some newspaper stuff and radio stuff?
Yeah, so we're on radio and
so tell us about traditional media now, because it's changed a lot. Now, like traditional media, a lot of people don't like traditional media now because you can get views so cheaply on Facebook but or Instagram. But the reality of the situation is, if you want to be an expert, you still have to be shown in some type of traditional media.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, so tell us a little bit about what traditional media you guys have done in the past, radio,
so in the past, there was a newspaper called the Perth Advertiser. Now, we did this thing where we were in, I think it comes out Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday or something. So, but what we did was we paid, I think it was about £350 a month, and we were in every newspaper. And there's a small little advert that says, are you in pain, sick, or suffering? Have you ever wondered if chiropractic could help you? We believe the best way to find out is to come in for a free, no obligation, spinal screening.
Yeah.
Call this to book your appointment.
Yeah.
The advert looked horrible.
Yeah.
It was like green and yellow, or it was like red, and it was like this bubble writing and stuff. And honestly, I was like, guys, you need to change it and make it look professional. We changed it and made it professional.
Didn't work as well.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
The cheaper the advert, the worse the advert, the better it worked.
Mm.
But we used to get about 5 spinal screenings a week off of that. And then if they're coming in for a spinal screening and you're converting those into new patients, that's a huge way. So we started with that. Now, we then, when we moved into the new practice, we moved to another newspaper called The Courier. It's a much bigger newspaper. I would say it's more kind of, instead of like a local kind of newspaper, it's more, you know, like national, if you want to put. However, it's just, it's localized to the area. And the type of people, the readers, I thought were going to have more money, or were going to be sort of wealthier, kind of higher brow type people. However, you know, it hasn't worked as well.
Mm.
We did get about 20 higher tickets, so 8 weeks to wellness clients from that the first year, and then it reduced the second year, and the third year it's reduced again. However, you know, we've tried different things. We changed the advert. I think you've got to do something for a while, and then if you're not seeing it, you need to flip it over. So we've just flipped the advert again.
Nice.
We've gone back to that more, are you in pain, sick, or suffering, than opposed to having all the different facilities that we have. We also have a newspaper, a radio advert as well, so talking about 8 weeks to wellness and also back pain, neck pain, headaches. And, you know, I think with that, you don't get as much of a direct response from it, I would definitely
say. It's a branding
thing,
yeah.
But it is certainly a branding thing, and it's about positioning ourselves as the main clinic and the experts in the area.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an expensive one for us. I think we're probably about £14,000 a year on that one. But, you know, we'll run it to the end of the year and then we'll make a decision on whether we're going to continue it. But like part of me is thinking to go back to the small little advert in the cheaper one, which was getting in five spinal screenings. So I think like the key thing with it is having multiple different you know, things, and you know, there's certain ones that are going to work and then they might dry up for a bit and then it's maybe just time to then change things. But I think you have to be hitting people from all different ways.
You know, so interesting, in all the interviews we've done, if you watched all of them, you would have heard that one word that you said there, the multiple thing.
Yeah.
Every single doc, the worst number in business is one. One of my greatest mentors taught me this. Like, if it was just spinal screenings, we'd be in trouble, right?
Yeah.
If it was just that little ugly ad that worked so well, we'd be in trouble.
Sure.
But there's something else that's just jumping out at me when you're talking now. And can you just see, like, Dr. Dan is a very successful guy, incredible practice, but you're testing.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's it. You've got to try things and try things that maybe other people aren't necessarily doing. Obviously, look for what people are doing that's working and copy that. But also, you've got to try new things as well. And then you've got to then look at the results, look at the stats. So, you know, all of our new patients that come in, we have, where did you hear about it? And then we will sort of drill them a little bit and find out, if they say internet, well, I want to know where on the internet. Was that Facebook? Was that Google? Was that our website? Was, you know, where was that? If it was from a newspaper, or if it was from a referral, who was it? You know, and I think, you know, you've got to be working all these. And also, you know, another great way is your internal referrals, working your internal market. Because I think people are always looking outside the practice, you know, to try and take new people in. But if you look after the people you've got inside and you work on those people inside, it's a lot easier to sort of attract new people from then. And also, I think the quality of a referral is obviously a lot higher than someone who's never really heard about you before.
So you mentioned something very important there. So we have a rule in any of my businesses is that if something is measured, it improves. Now, the logistics of getting you spec the source and all that, whenever I mention that to a doc, the first thing that comes up their mind is like, oh, it's a real challenge to get all that stuff measured, right?
Sure.
To get all your numbers together, etc. So tell us a little bit about how do you get all your numbers together? Who's responsible for that? Is it you? Is it someone else in the team? Sure. Do you look at that weekly? We've got our systems, but I'm interested to find out your systems. When do you look at those numbers?
So I've got Liz, who's my practice manager. Yeah. So she does all of those kind of stats. I'll get the stats at the start of the week for the previous week. So I'll be looking at it weekly. But, you know, all of the stats, like we've got a big whiteboard in our kitchen and everyone's stats are on there. So number of patients, number of new patients for all the chiropractors, all the massage therapists, all the personal trainers. Mm-hmm. So we're keeping an eye on that. And then, you know, at the end of the week, you know, and we're changing that as the week goes on because ultimately we want at the end of the day there to be more patients coming in than at the start
of the
day.
Your output is affected by the numbers that you see at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how important that is, guys, like, because so many times we don't, one of my biggest bugbears in the chiropractic industry is that we don't run our practices. We seem to think that the laws of business cease to exist in our practices.
Sure.
And one of those are if it's measured, it improves.
Yeah.
But then we have this unhealthy relationship with goals because we don't like to measure everything. And then it's a mission to get it all together. But it's been a game changer in my business, measuring that weekly.
Yeah, like I learned a lot of that from, you know, the Master's Circle when I was there, and it was like PVA, patient visit average, you know, your new patients. And then, you know, looking at your BRF numbers. So like our BRF is like a new patient like healthcare talk that we do every Monday.
Yes.
So another great way to educate patients. But if you think about it, if you're looking for every new patient to come in, the number that are coming to your BRF should be matching the number of new patients.
So it's your show-up rate.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah. So if you're seeing that you've got, you know, 20 new patients and 10 in the BRF, now you've got a conversion issue with getting people into that BRF, you know, or that talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of the numbers, when you actually look into them and work out how they all work together, it's really important to look at that as well.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah. It's so interesting. Whenever I talk to someone like you who's been so successful in your practice, it's like the stuff we're talking about now hardly ever gets spoken about.
Sure.
It's like, and we have a saying in my little group is that, and in our eight practices and my inner circle group, is that success is damn boring. What I mean by that is there's nothing sexy about looking at your BRF number.
No.
And nothing sexy about that, right?
No.
Like, everyone's like, the fancy Facebook ad or anything like that.
Yeah.
But doing those things consistently, week in, week out, it seems damn boring, but that's the thing that creates success. It's the discipline to do that every single week. So, Dr. Dan, listen, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I think, as you can see the interview going on, you can see there's no surprises why he does so well in practice, because he does the basics really, really, really well. So if you had to finish off and say something to the listeners, like one piece of advice, one tip, what's the thing that you'd say to them, you'd leave them with to like really help them grow their practices? What would you say?
I would say do the basics, you know. Do them consistently, and if you have a fear over kind of doing any videos or any of that, get over yourself and just go and do it.
Listen, everyone, I hope you had an awesome time. I hope you took some notes. There's some real gold in there. We love and appreciate you. Thank you for your trust, and we'll see you at the next interview. Hey guys, thanks for watching the video. I hope it was helpful. If you haven't yet subscribed, please subscribe, hit the like button, and share the video or leave a comment. It really means a lot to me. Also, if you haven't subscribed, my statistics show that over 70% of you that watch my videos aren't subscribed. Hit the subscribe button. You do not want to miss the practice growth strategies I'm going to be teaching over the next couple of months. See you on the other side.